open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Let your ways be known upon earth, your saving power among the nations. We gather together to worship God, and in thanksgiving for the 70 years of faithful service of our Sovereign Lady Queen Elizabeth. We give thanks for her example of faithfulness to God and to her people, and pray God's blessing on her, that she may continue to fulfill the promises she has made with generosity and joy. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the reign of your servant Elizabeth, our Queen, and for the example of loving and faithful service which she has shown among us. Help us to follow her example of dedication and to commit our lives to you and to one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Reading from the book of Proverbs. Does not wisdom call and understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call. And my cry is to all who live. O simple ones, learn prudence, acquire intelligence, you who lack it. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips, and come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are straight to one who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, live with prudence, and I attain knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have good advice and sound wisdom. I have insight, I have strength. By me the kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me rulers rule, and nobles all who govern rightly.
Reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. So the Pharisees sent their disciples to Jesus, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away.
May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Being a vicar is rather like being the Queen. Not in the sense of living in a palace or a castle, though the vicarage is very nice, or having to wear a crown, nice hats, wave in a certain kind of way, and ponder weighty matters of state. But in the sense that a vicar finds his or her authority both from God and from the people they serve. For that's also true for the Queen, whose Platinum Jubilee we have celebrated over this weekend, and it's a theme I want to explore a bit in this sermon. And I begin by saying that, as we all know, Queen Elizabeth II's reign has been exercised rather differently from those who went before her. She's certainly not been a queen who has ruled with an iron fist, who has manipulated or murdered her way onto the throne. Something that has happened, of course, as we were reminded last weekend when we had a few days in Leicestershire and learnt about Richard III, the king, you remember, buried in a car park. Well, it wasn't a car park at the time, obviously. His understanding of what it was to be a king, of course, was fashioned by a different age from our own. On paper, of course, the Queen still has remarkable powers to declare war, for example. Thankfully, though, she doesn't do that, but instead understands her authority as both being given by God, something I'll come on to in a moment, and from the people she serves. And it's this dual authority that seems to have parallels, as I've said, with the role of a vicar. For we too are people whose authority flows from our life with God and in and through the people we serve. But let's consider for a moment the roots of the monarch's authority being from God. It's something I've thought a bit about lately in preparation for today. I was helped by listening to a podcast of the Radio 4 programme In Our Time that explored the theme, the divine right of kings. It's worth a listen, and described in 45 minutes, about right for my brain, how we came to understand the monarch being divinely ordained to rule, their authority coming from God. It's something, of course, that goes way back. In the Old Testament of the Bible, we have two books dedicated to telling the stories of kings. They make for interesting, if sometimes a little tedious, reading, describing how there are good kings and bad kings, depending on whether or not they were faithful to God and did what was right. And the sense of a king being given authority has remained, coming in and out of focus at different times of our history. Henry VIII, of course, bringing an extra dimension by also becoming the defender of the faith and then the supreme governor of the Church of England, something which the Queen became too, promising at her coronation, "To the utmost of your power, to maintain the laws of God and the true profession of the gospel." At that same service, she was also anointed, blessed, and consecrated by the archbishop. And here again, there are echoes of what happens at an ordination of a priest too, when through the laying on of hands, the priest is given authority to absolve and bless and preside over Holy Communion. So part of the Queen's authority flows from God, a God who shall neither slumber nor sleep, as the psalm appointed for this evening put it, who will preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. These words of a God of steadfast support and presence through all the changes of life. Changes, of course, that our Queen knows well. For when Princess Elizabeth became Queen, it was a time very different from our own. The world, of course, was emerging from the shadow of two world wars. Since then, she has seen much change through her years. The breadth of that experience has been captured so imaginatively and wonderfully by the celebrations we have been sharing in over the last few days. The Queen has retained her importance to us through that change and exercised her God-given authority with care and thoughtfulness, always striving, it seems to me, to bring people together to encourage and to nurture. 14 prime ministers have served under her, and no doubt she has gotten on better with some than others, and sometimes wondered what on earth they were up to. Yet she has been a wise friend and a counsellor to them, as she has been to archbishops too. I heard Rowan Williams interviewed the other day. He was described by the interviewer as being a hairy lefty, someone not obviously given as a supporter of the monarchy. And he was asked what he made of his time with her. His reply made clear his sheer personal affection for the Queen, who was, he said, unceasingly supportive and kind and generous, a Queen who encouraged him. His story is echoed the world over, for our Queen has had a remarkable influence over people, and that sense of kindness, support, generosity, and encouragement has been experienced by many. And here I think of what a difference it makes for those who've received honours from her, or garden party invites, or when she visits a city like our own, as she has done over the years. And through this quiet exercise of her reign, her authority has grown. Not an authority that wields the power of the sword, but an authority born of our love and admiration for her. Here again, we return to the role of a vicar whose authority too is given through ordination, but who knows that he or she cannot do much without the support of those whom they serve. Seems to me that often when parishes are in trouble, it's often about authority, the vicar trying to impose some change, unable to carry those whom they serve with them. Of course, the Queen has wisely never done anything like that. She understands how monarchy might best serve our nation at this time, and has been an example to us all of how to inhabit the role she has been given with grace and steadfastness. And there's no doubt that she has drawn her inspiration from Jesus. He it is who is the pattern of our love, as our specially commissioned anthem for this evening puts it. As some of you know, I was privileged to spend a bit of time at Windsor a few years ago. I didn't meet the Queen, though she was in residence, but did meet one of her chaplains who looked after her in what could best be described as her parish church on the Windsor estate. He spoke movingly of her faith, the practice of it very traditional in many ways, describing how she went to church, heard the scriptures, listened to the sermon, though he said preaching for the Queen was not easy, praying and singing hymns. The words and rituals of her faith have helped fashion her life and maybe her understanding of how she was to exercise her authority as our Queen. That same faith helps us, priest and people, to understand authority too, for Jesus never wielded his authority to diminish others, but to help them flourish and grow. And in a very distinctive and particular way, our Queen has done the same. And so we are right to give thanks, each in our own way, for Queen Elizabeth II, to pray for her, and join with people around our nation and our world who will sing and pray that God may continue to bless and save our gracious Queen. Amen.
Celebration. Let us pause and take time to pray for the world and give thanks to God for his great goodness towards us. Please sit or kneel. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the reign of your servant Elizabeth, our Queen, and for the example of loving and faithful service which she has shown among us. Help us to follow her example of dedication and to commit our lives to you and to one another. As a young woman 70 years ago, our Queen had a great burden placed upon her shoulders, which she accepted with grace and fortitude. We give thanks for her example in life and faith, and pray that you will help and support her as she continues in service to you, her country and Commonwealth. Give her strength when she falters, and wisdom when she is faced with difficult decisions and situations. May she always know that you are with her. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the midst of our celebrations, we remember always the troubled areas of the world and hold before you the people of Ukraine, where fighting continues and lives are shattered by deaths of loved ones. Be present to them, Father, in the fear and violence of their lives, and grant them peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the Commonwealth countries in all their diversity, yet working together to pursue common goals and values. As a country, may we always protect the small and vulnerable and work alongside the great and powerful for the common good. Lord, in your mercy. Father of all, we give thanks and pray for our own families and friends. Keep them safe from harm and guide them in their lives. May they know your love and in turn pass that love on to others. Lord, in your mercy. In your mercy, we pray for those who are sick, those who are in pain, those who are anxious or afraid, those who are waiting for the results of tests or are waiting to go into hospital for treatment, those who are alone in their illness and have no one to hold their hand. Be present to them, Father, in the care of doctors, nurses, and carers, and in the touch or smile of a stranger. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who have died, especially those known to us. May they rest in your love, and may their loved ones who mourn them know your peace and comfort. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. Lord of our lives and Father of all, let our thanksgiving prove itself in service to you and to our Queen, our country, and one another. Amen. Now let us pray with confidence in the words our Saviour taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As we give thanks for Her Majesty's service to us all, let us dedicate our own lives once again to the love and service of God and neighbour. Lord of our lives and Father of all, grant that our thanksgiving may prove itself in service to you and to our Queen, our country and one another, for your name's sake. Amen. Grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the Church, the Queen, the Commonwealth, and all humankind, peace and concord, and to us and all his servants, life everlasting, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.